So let's go to the word of God for today as we stand up with our Bibles to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16 and verse 17. Let's pick our text from there. Matthew chapter 3. Let me just give a little exhortation I have promised I will do. Can we stand up with our Bibles? Thank you. Amen. One word is all you need that may be quickened to you that could change your spiritual life positively forever. Verse 16, and I read in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. And very briefly, I want to look at a topic that I titled, The Sign of a Dove. And this is important. It is my own attempt. It's my own attempt to cause somebody to understand God's expectation of us as Christians. So many types and shadows in the Bible. So many things in the Bible that confirm to us the reality of the gospel. That Jesus is truly God's ransom for his people. That Jesus is the propitiation of our sin. That Jesus is our redeemer. He is our savior. It's not a song, it's a reality. It's not a myth, it's a reality. And that Christianity is not a religion. Religion is a way of life, just a way of life. But the truth is, Christianity is the way of life, not a way of life. Because if you talk of a way of life, then you make room for other ways. And Jesus is the only way. Any life without Jesus is a meaningless life. And when the Bible says we should get knowledge, get understanding, with all that getting, it says get understanding. Because even God's own people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When Jesus Christ came to resurrect Jesus, as I spoke during the vigil, the Bible says Jesus wept. For you to understand why he wept, look at the conversation that took place. Martha, who came to meet him, Martha, Mary, including that Lazarus, they were always with Jesus. They have seen him demonstrate miracle, power, signs and wonders that no human being has ever done. They have heard him teach them, tell them the privilege they have being close to him, who he is. They have seen him teach them several times that he's the resurrection and the life. They were hearing that sermon every day from Jesus. And yet Martha came and said, Master, if you were here, my brother would not have died. And he said, let's go. Where did you put him? They were still arguing. Don't worry, Master. It's 4 days now. It's all rotten. They didn't pay Jesus. Who are these people? I've been with you for so long, you still don't know me. Martha, have I not told you? I am the resurrection and the life. And they were still arguing with him. He broke down and wept. Why did he cry? The people that are around him here cannot see who he is. Who then will understand who he is on earth? If the people who are around him, and in another place he said, if the Son of Man shall come back, will he still find faith on earth? And there are people who come to Christ and declare for Christ that they are now Christian and even claim born again and even exercise gifts, power, anointing, everything. But when you see them in moment when they should demonstrate that they have faith, that is when you will doubt whether they ever believe that Christ that they follow. In moments of trials, in moments of frustrations, in moments where you face danger, they worship God only when all the going is wonderful. But the time for you to stand for God and confess God is not when everything is going well. A test, Brother Victor Iroha, the test of the sweetness of your marriage, the decision you have made to marry that woman, is not determined by how wonderfully well she's behaving or he is behaving to her. There is a decision you have taken earlier that is the anchor for any other situation you will face. That decision is prompted by a love. After all, there were many women. You chose this one. There is something about this woman you saw that made you choose her, that made her choose you, the man. There are many religions on earth. You looked at all of them and you chose Jesus. Why did you choose Jesus to be the one you will follow? Why did you think that it's only in him you will have life? Accepting the fact that we are dead, we are gone. If I need life, I will not go to Hare Krishna. I will not go to Olumba Olumba. I will not go to Buddha. I will not go to Hindu, wherever it is. I will not go to Islam. I am going to Jesus. What makes you to declare for Jesus? If it is not based on a knowledge of who Jesus is, you will not know how to relate with him. And that is the reason why I take this topic. William Branham preached this same message. He titled it On the Wings of a White, Snow White Dove. He had his emphasis, but I also picked the same dove, but I have also my emphasis as it affects us now that will help somebody to understand how to relate with God. Many of us don't know how to relate with God. So we want to look at why God came with a sign of a dove. Of course, there are many signs that God gave in the Bible. Many. But as far as Christ is concerned, I have some of them. It's so important. God kept speaking about Christ with signs. Signs. All these signs is to make you understand who Jesus Christ is better. I see a sign in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. You have to be writing these scriptures down and take time and read them on your own. He said, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. What is a sign? He said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. Behold, that's the way he put it. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. What is the sign? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. He said it is a sign. And I preached a message that I titled, Why the Virgin Birth? Get it and understand why and why it is a sign. He gave another sign in John chapter 3, verse 14. They didn't know he was giving a sign in the wilderness. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he was talking about his death on the cross on Calvary. What Moses was doing in the book of Numbers was a sign of something that will be fulfilled in future. And he told the wise men in Luke chapter 2. Let's read it from verse 11. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, 12, 13, 14. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 13. And suddenly, when the angels made that announcement, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying what? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. What is the sign? The sign is that they will see this Lord of glory, the Savior of the whole earth, that is bringing peace to the earth. Where will you see him? You will see him in a manger, wrapped up together like that. You will see him kept where animals are kept, where lambs are kept. Why is he the sign? Because he is coming as a lamb. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in Matthew chapter 12, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were questioning the authority of Jesus, and they were asking him, okay, show us a sign of your claim of who you are. And Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh a sign, but the only sign that you are going to have is the sign of the prophet Jonah. What is the sign? As Jonah was in the belly of the whale for how many days? 3 days, 3 nights, so also shall the Son of Man be under the earth. So, Jonah's entry into the well was a sign of something to come. The belly of the well was a sign of something that was coming up, pointing to Christ. And in the wilderness, there was another sign. And it was a sign of grace. It's a sign of unmerited favor. It was a sign. Hallelujah. It is a sign that you will receive life without working for it. Unmerited favor. That is grace. What is it? They were traveling the wilderness. No farm, no sweat, nothing. Every day, just sleep, wake up in the morning, food, yafu yafu, everywhere around you. Manna, bread from heaven. And they were eating and they were jubilating. No farm, nothing. They were just enjoying. They thought it is going to be forever until they enter the promised land and the manna ceased. It says because it has played its purpose, it was only a sign. In John chapter 6, Jesus Christ came and told them, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. But there is another manna. Hallelujah. They ate that one, all of them are dead. But there is another manna that if you eat, you will have eternal life. And he said, I am that bread of life that come from heaven. If you eat me, you will not hungry again. You will not die. It was a sign. And many other signs. But today, we are looking at the sign that he gave, announcing who Jesus is with the dove. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, let's read it up to verse 37 and see something there. John chapter 1. The next day, John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." Oh, glory be to God. "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And let's read on. Let us read on. "And John bear record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." 33. "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same sent unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." 35. Praise the Lord. "And the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples," 36, "and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Take note of that emphasis. This is that Jesus. How did he identify Jesus? Listen very well. How did he identify Jesus? He said, "He that sent him," that is God the Father himself. He said, "Whosoever you will see the Spirit descending like a dove." Oh my, I can stand on this verse alone and close. That is him. Who is him? The Son of God. And we are told concerning our destiny, every believer, our destiny, according to Romans chapter 8 verse 29, we are destined to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Why the image of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is God's attempt to restore his desired decision when he said, "Let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness." That image and likeness was destroyed. Then you'll understand why he started a new creation with another Adam. Jesus Christ is known as the last Adam. To start another creation, Jesus is referred to as the image of the invisible God. If Jesus is the image of the invisible God, glory be to God. Hallelujah. If he gives birth to you, Jesus Christ said, "If you see me, you see the Father. I am the way. I am the way. If you see me, you see the Father." Every Christian, therefore, you must come to an estate where, if you see me, you see Jesus. Hallelujah. Now listen, I'm saying this thing with a lot of emphasis because our attention has been taken away from the purpose of the cross. People believe that their destiny is to come and become millionaires and billionaires, and some have arrogated to themselves the ministry of prosperity. It is not so. We are destined to be conformed to the image of Christ. I told you something, and I will continue to repeat it. This is the second one. The first one is, how will I know that you are a Christian? I have told you, there are so many things for us to know whether one is a Christian or not. And I told you that Doubting Thomas, they call him Doubting Thomas, they told him that Jesus is alive, oh, he has resurrected. We saw him. He said, unless I see him, I will not believe. And Jesus appeared to him. How will I know whether this is the real Jesus or fake Jesus? I know that he was nailed to the cross. Oh yeah, let me see your hand. There has to be evidence that this is the Jesus. He knows what happened to Jesus on the cross. The scars must be there if it is the real Jesus. And he opened it, and when he saw it, he fell on the ground and worshipped him. That is, in the Bible, Jesus now said, if you will follow me, what did he say is the condition? Pick up your cross and follow me. So, I can also use that also as an indices to know whether you are a Christian or not. People give testimonies. I have mentioned this to the ministers in our Tradoc on Tuesday. I told you, I said, and I'm saying this not to be humble, I believe with the whole of my heart that a preacher, a servant of God, a prophet, a pastor, that we have no justification, moral justification in any way, to begin to give testimony of the things we have acquired after we came into the ministry. It's morally not fair to do that. But people do it. When I started this church, I had only palm sandals. I had one shirt, one trouser. But now, can you see the number of cars I have? I have how many number of houses? And the devil anoint such people to make other ministers who don't have such to think that they are failure. Then everybody is struggling to acquire this because it is looked at as a symbol of success in the ministry. That is wrong. Every man shall give account of himself. We ministers, the talent that God gave us, before God, you are going to stand to testify how many houses you built before God. That is why Christianity is the way it is today. Instead of people to look at the face of Jesus, they are looking at his hands. And as long as you take your eyes away from the face of Jesus, you will never know how he looks like. Therefore, the proper image will not be formed in you. You say you are a follower of Jesus. Amen. William, if you are a follower of Jesus, I should ask you a question. Show me the scars that you have acquired for following Jesus. Where are the scars? What is your testimony for a decision that you have taken to follow Jesus? What is your testimony? And every believer must have that testimony. Listen, church. Before God, when I will face him, I will line up the people I was able to get converted by my ministry. There are so many things for you to know whether somebody is a Christian or not. Let me limit it to what I want to say today. That God told John, the person you will see the Spirit descending like a dove, he is the Son of God. The same thing is not only for Jesus, it is for all of us. Who is a child of God? How will I know that you are a seed of God? You are truly converted. You are truly a son of God. Heaven must also announce your own. It is you that we see the Spirit of God descending upon you like a dove. That's my emphasis. Unless the Spirit of God descends upon you like a dove, you are not yet a son of God. And I'll let you know why. There are some people that the spirit that they receive, the spirit that comes upon you like a prostitute. The spirit that comes upon you descends upon you like a vulture. The spirit that comes upon you like a pig. Amen. But if it is the Spirit of God, He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will descend upon you like a dove. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is a dove? A dove is the same family with pigeon. Eh? Hallelujah. They have the same family, and they are all domestic. You know, a pigeon is a domestic dove. It's a bird with certain striking characteristics. Let's look at the characteristic of a dove. Hallelujah. Take note before we look at the characteristic. There was Jesus Christ. Listen. There was Jesus Christ being baptized, water baptism. And there is the Spirit of God coming. But take note that first and foremost, John had announced him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And the Holy Ghost came like a dove. He is the Son of God, and we have the Holy Spirit. But He is also described as a lamb. And the Spirit of God is described as a dove. So what are we saying? Hallelujah. Jesus, before, amen, before you qualify for that spirit like a dove to come to you, you also have to be a lamb. You have to be a lamb first. Because the dove, one characteristic of a dove is that it is the cleanest bird in the air. It doesn't go to bath. It has oil inside of her. Hallelujah. There is something inside of her, that bird, that oils the outside of that bird. Therefore, you will never see any dirty on him that requires him to go and take any bath anytime. When the dirty come, land back, that oil will clean it and the body will shine immediately. Secondly, praise the Lord. It is the meekest animal. Very humble. Very, very humble. The dove. Again, the nature of a dove is not built to eat anything unclean. It has no gallbladder that will make it receive bile from the liver for the purpose of removing poison and all the dirt inside. It doesn't need it, because such poison will not enter the body anyway, because it's not going to eat it. It doesn't eat anyhow. It's not everything that it accepts. That is the dove. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's read Psalm 32 and verse 2. Oh, glory be to God. See the characteristic so that you will see how it relates with us. He said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. The guile there is deceit. In John chapter 1 verse 47, the Lord Jesus Christ made the same statement concerning one of the disciples before he joined him. John chapter 1 and verse 47. So that we understand what he's talking about. John chapter 1 verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, as he just saw him, he just looked at him, and said of him, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. So that you'll understand why Nathanael was qualified to receive the Holy Ghost. If we go to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21 and verse 22. I'm going somewhere. Chapter 2 verse 21 and verse 22. For even hereunto were you called, every one of us, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. See his steps. Verse 22. Who did no sin? He did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. When you talk about guile here, it's talking about deceit. He's talking about all the bitterness with stomach in us. There are people who have been asking me, I want the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost. I want to teach you something now. Yes, the Holy Ghost is given to them that ask. But this will help if you catch what I want to tell you now. Praise the Lord. You cannot come to God with that type of heart that harbors bitterness, harbors hatred, harbors unforgiveness. There are people that are happy to see fellow human beings tormented. Different type of witchcraft. There are people that specialize in setting people against some other people. They know how to manipulate you to hate even your son. They build confidence around you. You believe anything they tell you. Once that is established, then they strike. They know how to deal with anybody. And then that person is coming and saying, you want the Holy Ghost. Which Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost cannot come there. The Holy Ghost comes like a dove. Christ in him was no guile. All the gossips, you gossip with your mouth and you feel no condemnation in your heart. You have not made up your decision. You've not decided yet to live that useless life you are living as unbeliever and come to Christ. Unless you become like a lamb, the dove cannot come to you. That is my message today. If there is any anointing you are manifesting, if there is any spirit that is moving in you, manifesting in you, and you still see yourself comfortably exhibiting all this carnality, especially the wicked one, a dove has no gallbladder, therefore it has no need of bile to deal with hatred, to deal with this, to deal with that. A Christian, therefore, hallelujah, you cannot be preaching to him, forgive now, he will look at you. Forgive what? I have sins, I don't hate him. Somebody came to me and was reminding me all the evil he did against me. And he said the Lord told him that he should come and ask for forgiveness. I looked at him and that is the truth. I said, honestly speaking, I don't remember what you did. What did you do? And he was surprised looking at me. Daddy, you know now. I said, excuse me. I beg. If you're not going to talk with me, go away. You are telling somebody to forgive you when he doesn't remember what you have done against him. And the thing must have been so horrible that he was feeling condemned. But I don't even remember what he did. You have diary where you have written it. Because you still have gallbladder with bile inside. Me, I have no need. There's nothing in me to harbor unforgiveness. There's no compartment to keep it. No compartment to keep any evil in me. And that is the truth. Because I will be a false witness if I preach what I don't practice. That's why I had a cause to speak with some ministers. I say, how do these people feel? How do they feel? That I will stand and preach. I am preaching Jesus, preaching righteousness, preaching this. And while I am preaching this, there is a girl sitting down there that I sleep with. And she's sitting down there, right on, Pastor, right on. Which conscience do you have? Or to stand at this altar and say and lie, the Lord Jesus woke me last night. When hungry, don't wire me. The Lord say he wants to bless 100 people today with 111 million. The Lord say, and they are standing at the altar. Now, I was saying, I have sat down several times to try to meditate. How is it possible? What type of heart do they have to do those type of things? He said, one mighty prophet. Somebody was telling me, I don't know how true that is. But he said it is his brother that gave him the testimony. Then he went to meet him. And he was giving him testimony. How that he God bless him with 100 million naira coming to his to the prophet to share testimony. And right there and then, as you are talking, the Lord told me that you should give him 28 million. And before you know what, he wired immediately by transfer. He said, na 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 What conscience do they have to stand the anointing that I receive freely? The Bible says, freely I receive, freely I give. That I will now, before I pray for you, you will pay me. You even negotiate. I will go and carry water. Put one small bottle and call it anointing water and sell it. Which conscience? Which conscience? That's why I believe with the whole of my heart that if you have received any spirit, it is not the spirit that comes like a dove. I didn't say you did not receive a spirit, oh. You have received a spirit, but it's not the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord.